Well, bless God. At the moment, we are busy with a teaching on curses. Are curses real? Do they exist? If they are real and they do exist, what does that mean for me, the believer? Does it have any bearing on my life? Does it influence my life in any way? Should I give it any thought? Should I give it any place in my life? There's a lot of teaching. It's not really teaching because it cannot be substantiated or backed up by the Bible. But there is a lot of thought that goes something to this effect. Don't talk about the devil. Don't give the devil any place. Don't focus on his things. Leave him alone and he'll leave you alone. How many of you know that that's hogwash? Well, I can use a lot of other words as well, but we're in the church right now, so I'll just refrain from doing that. But biblically, the Bible says you and I are involved in a war. All right? Now you see, the devil out there has declared war on you. Whether you fight back or not is not his baby. If you're going to take it and roll with the punches, hey, you're going to suffer. If you're going to put your foot down and say, listen, I don't have to take this, I don't have to accept this, and you start doing something about it, your life might just change for the better. Now, I want to start off tonight's teaching with a testimony of something that happened quite a few years ago, but I sat and I thought to myself, what is the best example that I can give people to sort of open up what I want to teach about today? Now, I've got a lot of examples. God has used me in this type of ministry now for the last 10 years. I have probably prayed for thousands of people. There's a lot of things, but every now and then there's one or two that just sort of jump out, stand out, that we can use to understand what the Bible teaches us about these things. I will not share the name of the person because that is not relevant. But a couple of years ago, the one morning, my cell phone rings. I answer the cell phone and I hear this weird, very old sounding voice speak to me. And this lady says to me, is this Rian Lombard? I said, yes, ma'am, it's Rian Lombard. But now, the way, because it almost sounds like it's somebody playing a phone prank on me. You know, if who's it, Daryl Simpson was around by then, I would have asked him, Wacky, are you mad? You know, like, don't phone me, okay, just cheers. But she says, I said to her, can I help you? She says, do you cast out devils? I said, yes, I have been known to do that, ma'am. She says to me, I've had two devils now in my life for the last 40 years, and I'm really tired of them now. Do you think you can help me to get rid of them? With all due respect, she sounded so pathetic. By that time, I was almost convinced that this must be somebody trying to pull a fast one on me, you know? But for some reason, I never said anything. I just said, well, tell me a little bit more about it. And so she told me a little bit more about it, and I quickly understood that this was genuine. This was really an old lady that had had two demons messing with her for the last 40 years, and she just couldn't cope with it anymore. And so I made an arrangement to go to her house to go and pray for her. And I got there, and I met this very sweet, lovely, kind, grand old lady that was in her late 70s, and she spoke to me a little bit about what was going on. She told me she knows that there are two spirits that live with her in this house. She said the one's name is Lucille. Now, if there is anybody here tonight named Lucille, you are not named after that thing. It just hijacked your name. Don't stress about it. You understand? Okay. So the one is named Lucille, which she claimed to be a female spirit, and the other one is named Sir Michael, which she claimed was a male spirit, and she felt that Sir Michael was actually like her guardian angel. To put it this way, her perception at that stage was only the one was really evil. It's this Lucille one that was always hurting her and harming her and giving her problems, waking her up at night and confusing her and doing all sorts of stuff. And she was quite desperate to now get rid of these things. So the first thing that I found a bit strange was that she believed this Sir Michael to be good. And I asked her, how do you know that this thing is good? Who of you have heard of automatic writing? Anybody here heard of automatic writing? Right. Now, automatic writing is when, like, you put your hand on a piece of paper and a spirit takes control of you and it begins to write messages through your hand, but your brain has nothing to do with it. It's totally supernatural. Now, Sir Michael had been corresponding with her and writing letters to her for years, claiming to be her guardian angel sent by God to take care of her and to protect her from Lucille, who was the evil one. Now, Lucille also wrote letters to her in a similar manner, threatening her, threatening to destroy her life, etc., etc., blah, blah, blah. Now, she got hold of me because a couple of years ago, one of the newspapers ran an article on Satanism, and I was interviewed on what was going on and how does this stuff work, etc. And she phoned the newspaper to get my telephone number because she felt that maybe this person would be able to help her to get rid of this really evil, nasty spirit that was in her life. And alright, so now she knows that Sir Michael is a good spirit. She knows that Lucille is an evil spirit. She's got the letters to prove it because I saw some of the letters. I saw the way that they wrote. Interestingly enough, they both had their own handwriting, and she had her own handwriting, and none of the three handwritings were the same at all. I'm telling you now, if you took it to somebody that understands handwritings, they would have told you these are written by three different distinct people. Yet the hand that wrote it was the same hand. And all right. I tell her, we're going to have to get rid of these chokhos. So the first one we prayed against was Lucille. Understandably, Lucille was a very evil, sadistic, confrontational spirit. The moment I started praying, this thing was manifesting and hunting on, and it took quite a while to get rid of it, but it left. After it left, it was amazing, the woman's whole posture changed. She always said to me, Lucille is always sitting on my head. Now, you know, it sounds a bit weird until you saw what happened when the spirit was gone. It was as if for the first time she could stand up straight. Her whole posture changed when that thing was gone because it was like this big thing, this heavy weight pushing her down. What did Jesus say about burdens? He said, come to me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Often when there is an evil spirit at work in somebody's life, they will be carrying a very heavy burden, and not just sort of in the spirit, their whole perception will be life is heavy, it's tough, I'm always tired, I'm always frustrated, I never feel that I can go far in life, I'm too exhausted to tackle new challenges, I don't feel like it, I have no energy, I have no power. Now that was this woman. Yet that was the spirit that was sitting on her in the spirit, really pushing her spirit down. All right, now I came to the difficult part because, you see, I knew that this other chokho was not there to help her. It's a demon. No demon has ever helped nobody unless it's got a serious hidden agenda somewhere. Yes, the devil will sometimes give you information. He will sometimes give you help. The only purpose for him to do that is so that you can dig a pit for yourself. You understand? Because you've got to pay him for what he's just done. And he's after your soul. That's all he's after. So I begin to talk to her about this, and she gets very upset with me. She was a dear old thing, but she got very upset with me. Because how dare I tell her that this thing that she had perceived for the last 40 years to be her helper was actually evil and out to destroy her. And at one stage, I felt like I was trying to talk to a brick wall because I just couldn't break through to this woman. She was convinced that this spirit was there to help her and not to harm her. So I said to her, there's one easy way for us to solve this. If this thing was sent by God, if this thing is a godly guardian angel that has the right to be here and that is really here to protect you, my prayers will have no effect on it. Do you agree? I mean, no angel is going to let me tell him where to get off. The Bible says the angels of God listen to God. They take their orders from God, not from man. I said to her, so will you allow me to pray against it? And if it is evil, God will show us. And if it is not, God will also show us. So eventually she said yes. So I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Sir Michael, if you are not of God, I command you to come out of this woman. Woo. Instantly, it began to hurt her. But how's this? This one hurt her more than the other one that she always perceived to be the baddie. And I could see that she was shocked because they were physically chastising her. They were tormenting her. This thing was tormenting her in a bad way. And you could see that. And at one stage, I think she was crying because there was so much pain and such a lot of bad things that she was experiencing. And I just kept praying against this thing, praying against this thing. There was a lot of weird things that used to happen in her house. In other words, it was like there was like ghosts or whatever. There was poltergeist activity. Things would move around by themselves, and she would put a glass of water next to her bed at night when she goes to sleep. And in the middle of the night when she gets up and she wants to take the water isn't there, and then the water's there at the foot of the bed. And you know, all sorts of weird things would happen all the time. One of the spirits in the house would keep hiding her stuff. She would put her slippers by the bed. In the morning, when she wakes up, the slippers are gone. Then it takes her half a day to find them stuck in a cupboard in a different room. You know, weird things like that. And then, by the way, the thing was manifesting. She had always believed it to be the other one that did that because the other one was the bad one. By what this thing was doing, she suddenly understood that it was this one that had always done that, not the other one. And she kept giving it more and more and more power because she kept believing this one is yet to help me. In fact, often she would speak to that one, you have to help me against this one. Look at what this one has done again. What? Meanwhile, this stupid thing is laughing at her because he's doing all of it. When it came out of her, when it left, two friends were with me at the house that day. They were standing in the passage. I was praying for this woman in the lounge. When the spirit left this woman, it left with such force, with such power that the both of them were thrown right to one side. The door was closed. The door was slammed open. Both the door and the metal security gate were just slammed open. I think there was actually damage done to the door as this thing left. There was no doubt that that thing was evil. Yet if you had asked her a week ago, a month ago, was he evil? She would have sworn, I'm telling you now, she would have put her hand on the Bible and said, this thing is yet to help me. God sent it to be with me. God never sent that thing to hurt her. Because God never sent it. Satan sent it. The Bible says the devil himself is an angel of light. He masquerades as an angel of light. That means that he's got many faces. And if you are foolish enough to accept him into your life without checking to make sure that this is godly, he'll set up shop and he'll start messing with you and he'll start robbing you. Now, what I'm trying to say is this, this woman was under a very powerful curse, right? She had no peace. She had no joy. She was permanently confused. A lot of things in the Bible never made any sense to her. She could never really experience God's love because she couldn't understand, but why does God do this to me? Why does God allow this? And, you know, she had all these questions and what? And she'd been living like that for 40 years. Can you understand that she was under a curse? Raise your hands if you can see that. If you can't see that, I'll pray for you. And so now we come to the second thing that we need to talk about. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2 says this, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. What does that mean? That means that curses don't just rock up at your doorstep, take a look at your face and say, ooh, here's a likely victim. Let's start messing with this one. That's not how these things work. Yes, curses do come. Curses can be sent, depending on how we look at it. But that doesn't mean that you will always be susceptible to every single thing that comes your way. The Bible says if there is cause, they will come. If there isn't cause, they will not come. And so, yes, now we've dealt with these two spirits in this woman's life. Now it's time to start figuring out what is the cause. Because you see, unless you deal with the cause, they come right back. This is something you have to understand. Until you deal with the root cause of where it came from, it's like chasing a baddie out the front door, but you've left the back door unlocked. All he does is immediately run around the house and come back in the back door. And the only way to close the back door is to get rid of whatever called it there in the first place. So I sat this dear old lady down, who was by now feeling like $1 million. She felt like a brand new person, and she was very blessed. And I said to her, look, lady, we have to try and figure out where on earth these things came from. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me about your life, etc., etc. And she shared a very interesting story with me. When she was very young, in her early 20s, she had just gotten married. And she and her husband moved to another town where they knew nobody. She didn't work. She was a housewife. Her husband was the breadwinner. And he was out all day. And they moved into this block of flats where, you know, at first she was all shy and she didn't have a lot of friends. She didn't really know anybody, so she kept pretty much to herself. And slowly but surely she got to know some of the other ladies that were also housewives. And so the one day, the one lady rocks up at her door and says, we're going to have a welcoming party for you tomorrow. Is that okay? She said, yeah, well, that'll be wonderful. And then what they were going to do is introduce her to all the ladies living in this, you know, block of flats, and they were going to have a lekker koekentjie, and everybody was going to have a nice time. And the next morning when these ladies all got there, the lady that had organized it all was a spiritualist. So she did not just come with herself, she came with a whole bunch of other stuff as well, and she proceeded to tell everybody that they were going to have a seance now, and they were going to speak to the dead. Now, this poor woman was quite shocked by that, but seeing as these people were now extending a hand of friendship to her, she didn't want to now like burst the whole bubble, because the other girls all seemed all chuffed, and you know, they've obviously done this together quite a few times. So being a bit nervous and also being a bit skeptical, she didn't say too much, but she sat there while they had the seance, and they were calling up spirits, and demons would enter people and they would speak through them, and you know, she didn't know whether she really believed all of the stuff or not. But in the end, they all had a very good time, and they enjoyed themselves, and they had nice, let's call it fellowship if you can, and the woman left. Within minutes after these people leaving her house, the first weird things started happening. Cupboard doors started going open and shut by themselves. Pretty soon, crockery was flying around the rooms and being smashed against the walls. All sorts of weird things started happening. She started having nightmares at night, massive nightmares. And until the day when we prayed for her, I think she was still having nightmares. So there was definitely a lot of evil that came into her life. It was at that time that suddenly Sir Michael arrived to come and help her, to be her protector. Now, it's interesting that if I look at the way they manifested, he was by far the most evil of the two spirits in her life. Yet look at the way that he presented himself to her. You are in trouble. Look at all the problems that you are having. God has sent me to come and help you. Now, this poor woman did not really know God at that stage of her life. She had no understanding of how these things work. She was just too chuffed that something has come to help her with all these problems that she's got. And so she invited that thing in, not knowing that she was sleeping with the devil. And so now, I want to go back to when I actually prayed for her. I spoke to her at length about a lot of things in her life. And you know what the one interesting thing is? I had no doubt whatsoever that she truly was a believer. I know that might sound really weird and stupid to you, but she knew Jesus Christ. She knew that he had died for her on the cross. She knew that she was a sinner and that he was the only way to bring her back to righteousness and restore her to God. She knew all of that stuff. She'd been going to church diligently for at least 20 years, not missing a single day. Every time going there, hoping that God was somehow going to just divinely deliver her from this evil that was in her life. For 20 years, nothing happened. But she was a believer. Yes, she only met Christ after all this rubbish started in her life. But she understood the gospel. She did read her Bible. And I do believe that there was probably even a measure of faith in her life. Yet that did not safeguard her from the rubbish that Satan was manifesting in her life on a daily basis. Probably the saddest part of all of this is that she spoke to her pastor about what was happening in her life. His response was, "That's rubbish. There's no such thing." When she tried to speak to him about it again, he just refused point blank to even discuss the matter. He also told her, "You mustn't go and look for trouble. There's no such thing." And so, that being her only reference point at that stage, she accepted it as, "You know what, God has doomed me to this life of misery. What a load of rubbish." Is there hope in Christ? Well, what does the scripture say? "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future." That's the way God wants to bless each and every one of us. It's very difficult to be blessed if you are living with a curse. Very difficult. You see, her problem wasn't that God wouldn't help her. What she didn't understand is that everything that she needed to be helped, she already had. She just never used it the correct way. Remember one of the first nights that we started with the series, I said to you that the Bible says we have weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Who of you wasn't here that night when we did that one? A whole bunch of you weren't here that night. Tiny, can I know your name, brother. You're going to suffer here. Please come forward. If you've seen this demonstration already, that's fine. If you haven't seen it yet, you're going to learn something now. The Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That means that you have weapons and they are mighty. Now I want to show you something. Tiny, how's your imagination? Is it still fertile?
Yeah.
He's got a fertile imagination. What a blessing. Because, you know, a lot of people his age have totally forgotten that they actually have one of those things, right? You're a blessing, son. Now, okay, I want you to use your imagination. And remember like last time when you helped me out with the animals and what were you? You were a springbuck, right? You were springing something like that. As far as I remember, he was a very good springbuck, so he's the right guy to use for this explanation. All right. Now, Tiny, what would you say is a powerful weapon, like gun-wise?
Machine gun.
Machine gun. Okay, AK-47. Right. No, that's like a terrorist gun. You know, we don't want to bless no terrorists here. R4, military assault vehicle, rifle. Right, I want you to picture in your hands an R4 military assault rifle. Right, look at this oak. He's ready for action. I like this oak. I'm beginning to like you even more. Right, now look at it, feel it, familiarize yourself with it, check it out. All right, are you happy with it? Right, now, okay, now this one that you have in your hands, this is not a normal one. Right, this is a supernatural one. And with this one, you kill devils. Right? Why? Because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is a demon, right? It's this thing that's encamping around you trying to destroy your life. Good. Now, are you happy with your gun? Everything is fine? Right. Okay. Peter, for tonight's purposes, you play the devil. All right. We'll pray for you afterwards and we, you know, all of that stuff. We'll sort it out. Don't worry. I want you to quickly show these people your devil face. Show them your devil face. Okay, well, bless God. All right? He seems to have had a lot of practice with that one. I'm beginning to wonder about you. Okay, now, Peter, I want you to go there to the back of the hall. Okay. Now, Tiny, what is the devil's plan for your life? What would you say?
To kill me.
His plan is to kill him. The Bible says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The closer that thing gets to him, the more he's going to steal, the more he's going to influence him, the more he's going to mess with him, give him depression, anxiety, nervousness, tension, stress, low self-esteem, rejection, worry. And the list is endless, right? So he doesn't want that thing close to him. Now he's got this lack of weapon. What is he supposed to do with that thing when that thing starts coming for him? Well, what's the purpose of any weapon? You use it. Right. Now, Peter, you made a bit of a sniff in the air. Tiny is around, and it's got nothing to do with whether he's bathed or not. You understand? It's just like in the spirit, that's how these things work. And now you're busy coming for him. Now I want you to, you know, have the motions and have it. That's it. Good. Now, Tiny, I want you to shoot. Grensvechter and all that. Okay, shoot him. All right, listen here, man. You must make good sound effects here. Come on now, shoot him again. Now, that's it. Oh, bless God. Okay. Now, Peter, you know, yes, he's lying. Stop later. Okay, now, you know what? This is like watching on your PVR. There's a pause button. Come for him. Give another. Stop. Yeah. Reverse. Stop. Yeah. Two and two. Stop. That's it. Good. That's like a slow motion action pause. Right. You stay like that. I've paused you. You can't move. I've paused you. Okay. Now, Tiny, I want you to look at that thing. Can you see that he's still coming for you? There's a problem. You know what the problem is? Quickly look at your weapon. You've got the thing back to front. Turn it around. Okay. Right. Peter, I've unpaused you. Stop. Shoot him again. Shoot him.
Can I use my knife?
No, you can't use your knife. Okay. He hasn't fallen. What's wrong now? What does any gun need to work? You know what? Tiny has a very nice app, but he never checked. You know? The one obvious thing that he was supposed to do, he never did. There's no bullets in the gun. Now, Tiny put bullets in. Yeah, no, man, you don't have. He has nice bullets. That's it. Shoot him now. Now you're not taking it, man. What kind of a devil? Just get the hell off. Okay, right, stop later. Tiny, there's another problem. What other problem is there with that gun? No, it's not jammed. What? The safe. Yes, he never took off the safety. Son, I'm so glad you are not in the armed forces right now, because it would be a disaster. All right. Now, everything is ready. Shoot him. Okay, now he's actually shot you. No, now you must die. Come on, you must die now. Okay, well, bless God. Wonderful. Give them a hand. What did we just prove? You can have the best weapons in the world. If you don't know how to use them, they're worthless. This lady for 40 years had the best weapons in the world. What, for 20 years that she served God, had the best weapons in the world, but nobody ever taught her how to use them. You know where her weapons were? Somewhere on the top shelf under a foot of dust. Because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they are not like human things. They are not an AK-47, they are not an R4, they are not a knife, they are not a Knopkiri, they are nothing like that. They are spiritual, but they are powerful. And if you use them, they will destroy the devil. That old lady never did it. She never understood that she was supposed to do that. Is that a biblical thing? It's very biblical. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says the following, my people, listen carefully, God speaking, he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's useless having these weapons if you don't have the knowledge, this is how I'm supposed to use them. And you see, that's also one of the problems that we are confronted with as Christians, because the knowledge, there's a lot of knowledge in the Bible that we sometimes either don't know at all, or we've sort of got it, but we don't understand it. A lot of people try and make the whole topic of spiritual warfare to be this like really heavy stuff. You know, it's like it's only for a select few to understand. That's rubbish. Bible's not the devil's not interested in whether you're one of the select few or not. He's going to mess with you anyway, just because you were created in the image of God. You are a threat to him. Whether you know God or you don't know God, inside of you is something good. Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everybody, even the biggest heathen out there, has got a treasure inside of him. And once you meet with Christ and you are filled with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God comes upon your life, that treasure inside of you comes outside. That treasure might be you are an evangelist. That treasure might be God's given you the gift of healing. That treasure might be God's given you an anointing to prophesy, speak into people's lives. That treasure might be that God wants to use you to bring a word of encouragement and comfort to people that need to hear it. There are so many ways in which God can use you to bless other people, but it's all tied up inside of you. What does the devil want to do? He wants to try and destroy you before you understand what that is. That's all he wants to do. He wants to try and mess with you before you understand what it is. And sometimes because of lack of knowledge, we allow him to get away with that. Does God want the devil to get away with anything? Nah. No. That's why Jesus died on the cross for you and I. So that through his death we may have life. There was an exchange that took place on the cross. Jesus took death. And I'm not talking about ultimate death. One day we will all die, please. Don't one day when you die say, yeah, but Lord Rion said I wasn't going to die. I'm talking about spiritual death. Jesus took death and gave us life. He took the curse and gave us his blessing. He took the pain. He took the disease. He took the sickness. He took the infirmity. And he gave us the health, the healing. Unless we understand these things, they will stay. Now, here's what you need to know about a curse. A curse will be there until it is destroyed. You can't wish it away. You can't throw tantrums until God one day has pity on you and just divinely someone says, and blows it away. You cannot manipulate God. You cannot intimidate the devil. None of that stuff works. Curses have to be destroyed. That's how they are released out of your life. So, I want to give you a scripture here. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19. It is God speaking and he is speaking to the Israelites. He's speaking to his chosen people. He says to them this. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live. Listen to that scripture again. God is speaking to his people. He says to his people, you, listen carefully. Today I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have put before you life or death, blessings or curses. Now you must make a choice, but you should choose life. Why? So that you may live and your children may live. Blessing or curse depends on choice. You hear what I'm saying? Blessing or curse depends on choice. We have to make a choice. We have to make a decision. You see, God made something very clear to the Israelites. Even though they were his people, and they were divinely and supernaturally delivered from the hands of the clutches of Satan in Egypt, that did not mean that they still couldn't come under a curse if they chose to do so. If they made the wrong choices, they would be cursed. Have you ever noticed that even in the natural, that's very true? Sometimes we make very stupid choices, very stupid decisions, and we pay the consequences for those stupid decisions. Who of you can identify with that? Now, you see, that works exactly the same way in the spirit. You know, I'm not saying it's the case here, but there's many a marriage that is destroyed because either the husband or the wife made a choice to have an affair. It was a choice. Nobody put a gun to your head and said, do it, do it, do it. You made a choice to do it. And later on, when the bubble bursts, it's your responsibility. And you will suffer because of those things. Now, in the spirit, exactly the same thing happens. There are choices that we make that will bring a spiritual thing into your life that will also make you suffer the consequences, and that is a curse. Now, we said that it's all about choice. Now let me show you what God says about these things and about the choices that we have to make. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 to 27 says the following. God says to them, see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Now I want you to notice something. God doesn't force you along any path. He gives you a choice to decide for yourself what path you will choose. And yeah, he says to them, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands that the Lord your God is giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from what I command you today to follow other gods. What is the primary cause of God's blessing, obeying His commands. What is the primary cause of people being cursed in their life? Disobeying the commands of the Lord. Amen? What does the Bible say about witchcraft? What does the Bible say about the supernatural, trying to enter into the supernatural? What does the Bible say about seances and all of that stuff? It's a teaching for another night, but quickly go there to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and I'm going to read from verse 9. God speaking to the Israelites. When you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of those nations. Listen to, that's very strong language. God says, do not learn to imitate, in other words, to do the same as the detestable, filthy, horrible, disgusting practices of the nations that are living there right now. What is the stuff that they're busy doing? Yes, what he says. Let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices his son or his daughter in the fire. Ladies, listen carefully. You are living in the land Canaan. The high priest comes to you and he says to you, because we haven't had rain for the last 6 months, the great Baal has said that we have to sacrifice your firstborn on the altar tonight. And he will give us rain. Could you do that? No, you couldn't. Do you think that there's anything more horrible and more despicable than that? Apparently there is. Because God doesn't just mention that, He mentions a couple of other things. He says, yeah, let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices his son or his daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens or engages in witchcraft, who casts spells, who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. For anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord your God. And because of these detestable things, I will drive out those nations before you. God's judgment on Canaan was death by the sword. For every man, every woman, and even the animals had to be killed. Why? Because of what you just heard there. Speaking to the dead. Calling up spirits. Practicing divination, practicing witchcraft, sorcery, casting spells, and all of that stuff. It's all got to do with one word. We call it the occult. If you mess with the occult, you put yourself in the same position that the Canaanites were in 4,000 years ago. How many of you know they were not in a good place? Because God's judgment came upon them and He destroyed a whole nation because of the things that they were involved with. Now, out of Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26 to 27, we find the following. The main criteria for receiving God's blessing in your life is to obey God. The main criteria to be under the curse of God. Listen carefully. This is God saying you will be cursed. This is not the devil's curse. This is God's curse. A lot of people say that's ridiculous. God will never curse. That's biblical. God is the one that says, I give you a choice. You either have life or you have death. You either be blessed or you be cursed. I am giving you that choice. I give it to you. But what you will have is your responsibility. You cannot blame God for that curse in your life if you have done that because you've opened the door for that thing to come. Do you understand that? Now concerning the curse, this scripture tells us there are two things that will release that curse into your life. The first thing is false gods. He says here, the curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord and turn from God and follow other gods. First thing that we have to look at is, what are these false gods? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 5, which is the first place where the Ten Commandments are given. God starts them off like this. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. And I punish the children for the sin of the fathers until the third and the fourth generation of those that hates me. Okay. That's speaking about false gods. And he says there, when we look at the false gods, he says there are two sins pertaining to the false gods that will curse your life. I'm going to read it to you again. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol in the form of anything. Wada wada. Do not bow down to it. And for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Right. The first thing is, God says, do not even acknowledge any other god, either before me or besides me. I know this sounds a bit weird to you, but biblically, there is only one God. There are not many gods as the world would have you know. There are not many ways to heaven, as even the church will sometimes have you know. All roads do not lead to Rome. There is only one God. How can I say that? Well, Isaiah chapter 54 verse 21, God speaking, he says the following. He says, and there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Listen carefully. There is only one God. Now often, even we will say, yeah, but you know, they serve a different God. No, no, no. They don't serve a God. There's only one God. And you see, often we make the mistake of giving power to other things where God said they don't have it. They've got satanic power, but they're not God. They're not even gods in a sense that they're sort of close to God, but they're not on the same level. God says, you've got to understand something clearly. Yeah, I am the only one. You hear that? I am the only one. And a lot of people have cursed themselves because they've given place to false gods. Making idols of false gods and worshipping them is the second thing. Notice that the Bible says that God's judgment upon man for doing these things is an obvious curse. How can we say that? Because it's generational. He says if you do these things, if you bow down and you worship these false gods, you give them a place in your life, then judgment will come upon you and upon your children and your children's children and your children's children and the other children. Now that's a generational curse. Because he says not just you will suffer because of that, not the consequences will not only be upon you, it will be upon the second generation, the first generation, the third generation, even until the fourth generation. And if you understand how these things work, it will continue to jump from generation to generation until somebody stands up and says, I'm going to break this curse. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to destroy it now. Why can I destroy it? Because the Bible says Jesus became a curse for you on the cross. Galatians chapter 3. Jesus became a curse for you on the cross. Why? Because he knew that there are curses that are relevant in people's life. The Bible says God cursed his son on the cross by letting him die on a cross. Under the Old Testament, there was a curse spoken by God. He said, if anyone is found guilty of a capital offense and you choose to crucify him, do not let his body be on the cross when the sun sets, because that man will be cursed. How did Jesus die? On the cross. What happened while his body was on the cross? Darkness came over the earth. What happened immediately after that? Jesus said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Why did the Father forsake the Son in the darkness? Because at that moment, legally, he came under the curse. Did he deserve the curse? Nuh-uh. Even Pontius Pilate, who interviewed him, went out in front of all the Jews and said, I wash my hands of the blood of this man. I find no guilt in him. An innocent man, God made flesh, gave his life and took your curse that you might have his life and his blessing. Amen. So why can somebody stand up and say, I will not let this thing jump from generation to generation any further? Because Jesus has already done it. The thing is just we don't understand how these things work. There are a lot of people that are suffering big things, major problems in their life, And they don't have to. They don't have to because God's already made a plan to get them out of it. But the knowledge is just not there. The understanding is not set in yet. Any person who comes from a background where they were either involved in a different religion or in some way they messed around with the occult, I'm telling you right now, whether you like to hear it or not, you cursed. You chose to curse yourself because of the things you were involved with. Yes, you did not know the truth at that stage, but you know what? Even the Americans have this saying, ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. Now, in the spirit world, that's exactly how it works. You cannot go and stand before God's throne one day and tell Him, yeah, but you see, I didn't know about that. You know about it now. You hear what I'm saying? You know about it now. Now's when you start dealing with it. Now, the occult is a trap that Satan wants a lot of people to fall into. And I want to say to you that it's not that difficult to fall into the occult. You know what the word occult means? It means hidden. Buried. That's what it means. The word occult, the literal meaning of that word is something that is hidden. What does the devil hide? Look at this. This girl brought us these cards tonight. They are called messages from your angels. Now, I don't know, if you haven't never studied the Bible, and you don't know too much about how these things work, you might think to yourself, well, angels, well, that's good. They come from God. Messages, oh, geez, I really need some direction in my life. Well, yeah, let me get these things and let me check out what does God want for me? Where does God want to send me? But this is occultic. You know why? Because the true origin of the power is hidden. Will it speak to you? I promise you it will. What's it going to tell you? A whole bunch of things destined to send you deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit of the abyss. That's all. And for every one little thing that makes sense to you, He's going to send you a whole bunch of things that will curse your life every time you use it. The word occult means that which is hidden. And a lot of people daily get involved in things where they don't understand that the origin, the source of the power that they are dealing with is satanic and not godly, because we don't understand how these things work. Now, the occult falls into this category. What category am I talking about? Serving false gods. Bowing to them, worshipping false gods. You see, there are only two sources of supernatural power in this world. Who can tell me? What are those two sources of power? Biblically, God can and will, even still today, do supernatural things. God still heals. The Holy Ghost still delivers. God still performs miracles. No problem. He does it today. And He is the source of that supernatural power. But He's not the only source of supernatural power. There is also another source of supernatural power that also does things. Am I blaspheming? Well, think back. Moses comes before Pharaoh. He says, let God's people go. Pharaoh says, go jump in the lake. Moses says, I'll do better than that. I'll turn the lake into blood. I'll turn water into blood. Pharaoh was shaken a little bit. And then he called two men. What were their names? Jannes and Jambres. The two sorcerers in his kingdom. And he said, listen, yeah, this young whippersnapper Israelite dude has done something weird. Yeah, can you do it? Guess what? They did it. He put his staff on the ground and it became a snake. Guess what? They did it. What I'm trying to tell you is God had supernatural power and so did the devil. Ultimately, we know God's power is more powerful. Why? Because Pharaoh had to let go. All the satanic power in Egypt wasn't enough to keep the Israelites there. So God is the more powerful, but you have to understand that there is power on the other side. And if you tap into it, it will work in your life, but you don't understand what it's doing. You take one step forward and 10 steps back. One step forward and 10 steps back. By the time you realize there's problems in your life, you are so suicidal that nothing in life makes sense to you anymore. Most people that dabble deeply in the occult commit suicide. Because by that time, there's so many devils in their life that nothing makes sense anymore. There's no hope. You understand? You see, you know what the devil understands that we don't understand? All of mankind craves knowledge and craves power. It's the one thing we always need more of. We always want more of. We want to know more. How does this work? How does that work? What can I do to do this? What can I do to go forward in life? We are always looking for that edge. We need knowledge. We strive to get more knowledge. That's why you are here tonight. You want knowledge. And the other thing that man strives for is man strives for power. Now you see, when it comes to knowledge and power, there is only so much that you can do in the natural to advance. At some point in time, you're going to hit a ceiling. But that's when the devil's going to come to a lot of people and say, you know what, you've hit the ceiling now. But if you use these cards, if you go to that medium, if you make use of that spiritualist, you can get more. You can get that which the natural could never show you. Oh, you've only got so much power? Ooh, go sit in that pentagram and call on my name 3 times, 4 times and see how much power you've got then. Why do young people mess around with the occult? Most of them, it's a quest for knowledge and a quest for power. You know who's more susceptible than anybody for Satanism? A young boy or a young girl suffering from rejection. Never fitting in anywhere. Always feeling like the odd one out. Always standing outside while they feel the others are inside. And then the devil comes to them and he says, yeah, you see, they don't like you. They don't want you. They think you're weird. They think you're a nerd. They think whatever. But I don't. Just bow down to me and just worship me just for a little while and I will give you power. And he does. He gives them power. I prayed for a girl a while ago. She was in a school very close to here. She was notorious in that school. When she walked down the corridor, they would make a space for her. They would stand to one side and they would just about stand to attention because it was well known in that school that if she curses you, you are cursed. If she puts some weird spell on you, there's problems. If she is asked by somebody to break up a romance within a week, that romance is gone. And so the stories began to spread like wildfire in that school. The kids came to her in droves to use magic and witchcraft. I want to go out with so and so. I need more money. I want to go out on Saturday night and my father won't let me go. Do something that he will change his mind. And one by one the stories started coming back. I can't call them testimonies. We'll just call them stories. And she started practicing witchcraft and occultic things upon the kids in that school. And for a while she thought it was fun. And then the day came that she had to pay the devil. Demons would torture her, torment her. She never slept at night. Her whole life was racked with fear. It was great while she was at school because she would walk down the corridor and everybody would look at her with awe and respect. And it wasn't a good kind of respect, it was fear more than anything else. But at night these demons would torture her and torment her. She would hardly sleep. And she pretty soon realized what the occult really means. It's a doorway to the abyss. You pay the devil for that power. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. God is the provider. God is the source of all wisdom. But you see, a lot of people would rather go to Satan for that. Some people go to fortune tellers or witch doctors or swamis or whatever because they don't have a love life. Who knows who your mate is? Who's the one that created the right person for Adam? God. You can't read the Bible and see that the devil did that. So when it comes to the one that provides a soulmate, God is the one. Yet people will often turn their back on God and say, well, you know what, it's almost like, God, you've taken 20 years now and you still haven't got it right. I'm going to go to so-and-so. But what they don't understand is in the process, you've just turned your back on God. And you begin to worship that false God. And what does the Bible say? You will be cursed because of that. That curse will start working on your life. All of the curses that Exodus 20 speaks of starts manifesting in your life. Now the occult itself has 3 main branches. Another 10 minutes and I'm finished. They are witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. And it's important that we understand how these three work. And maybe, yes, maybe you've never dabbled with these things. But tomorrow, the day afterwards, you're going to meet somebody that did. And you're going to have some answers for them. Bless God, eh? Amen? The first one I'm going to look at is witchcraft. Now, what is the basis of all witchcraft? I'm going to explain it, don't worry. What is the basis of witchcraft? Some of you are going to say it's spells. Some of you are going to say it's rituals. Some of you are going to say it's muti. That's part of it, but that's not the basis. Do you want to know what the basis is of all witchcraft? It's rebellion. The basis, the root of all witchcraft is rebellion. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23 says this. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." The easiest way to understand witchcraft is to understand that at the core of all witchcraft, you find rebellion. And the second type of teenager that is most likely to be targeted for Satanism and weird things is a rebellious child. Because you've already got the right makeup for the devil to use you. You are already giving him power in the way that you treat your parents, the way that you treat your teachers, the way that you treat your peers. So it's not difficult for those demons to start working in your life. Because you've already given them a whole tank full of petrol to work with. Do you understand? You see, through witchcraft, what is man really doing? Man is rebelling against God, saying, "You can't do it, I'm going to do it better." Using this powder, using this statue, sitting in a place going, for the next 3 hours. You know? "God, you can't give me a husband, maybe the witch doctor will." There are three words that adequately sum up the working of witchcraft. Those three words are control, intimidation, and manipulation. What is the nature of witchcraft? The nature of all witchcraft is to control. Why? Why do people go to somebody to practice witchcraft? Because they want control of a situation. Women often go to a fortune teller or a witch doctor or somebody because I want that man for my husband. Some of you are smiling, but some of you here tonight have maybe even thought of that or done it. Have you done it? Well, we'll pray for you tonight. You know what? Some of you think that these things are really far-fetched and weird. There's a real world out there where people do this stuff. And you know what? Nobody does it because they want to get into trouble. It's natural to want a husband. It's natural to want a wife. And sometimes if it takes a bit too long, the devil comes and whispers in your ear, "Listen, yeah, God's forgotten about you, but I haven't. Go and see so-and-so, and I'll send you a real gem of a husband." Let me tell you something, nothing the devil ever sends you is a gem. It's more like a frog. And you can kiss him as many times as you want, he will not turn into a prince. I promise you. It's just not going to work. And so yes, people do. People, because there is a void in your life, or you have a need that you don't feel God is meeting in some way. And often he's not meeting it because you don't understand how he works. And so people go to these things. But why do they go to that? Because they love something. Often, workers will go to a witch doctor, "My boss isn't paying me enough. Do something to make him pay me more." But what are you really trying to do? You are trying to use supernatural means to control your boss. That's exactly what you're doing. So the nature of witchcraft, the way witchcraft works is it is a desire to control. You see, witchcraft is not only confined to weird cults and Satanism. Wherever people try to use these tactics, like control, intimidation, and manipulation, whether they like it or not, whether they understand it or not, they are tapping into the power of witchcraft. People that have a very controlling personality that want everything their way and will manipulate and intimidate you to get what they want, you are dealing with a spirit of witchcraft. That's what you are dealing with. If you want to rise above that thing, start rebuking that spirit of witchcraft. Now, don't do it in the man or the woman's face, because that's not going to go down very well. But when you walk around the corner, you just say, "You devil of witchcraft, I put you under my feet in Jesus' name." Because something in the spirit is going to begin to change. But that's witchcraft. Witchcraft is mentioned in Galatians 5:19-20 as a work of the flesh. Now, one day a pastor came to me and he said to me, "Rian, you say that witchcraft is demonic. The Bible says that in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse whatever, it's a work of the flesh. So how can you say that it is satanic if it's a work of the flesh?" If you want to understand how that works, this is kind of like how it works. I'm going to do my best to explain it to you. We all have a desire to be in control. All right? Raise your hands if you can sort of follow me in this. We don't generally like to be in a situation where we have no control. Can you understand that? And so, you know what? Adam and Eve, when God spoke to them in the Garden of Eden, and he said to them, "Listen, you can do whatever you want, but there's one thing you cannot do. Don't go eat from that fruit. The tree of knowledge of good and evil." They thought about it after the serpent came and spoke to them and said, "You know what? If we obey God, God is in control, but we would rather be in control. Let's go and do that." They decided to take control of their own destiny. It was an act of rebellion, but it was also about control. And that is the work of the flesh. We are all born with this thing. We would rather be in control than be submissive. It's a fleshly thing. But the more we give in to the fleshly thing, the quicker it turns demonic. Because you see, the works of the flesh excite the devil around you. Anger is also a work of the flesh. Let me tell you something, if you do not control your anger, pretty soon a demon of anger will enter you. And if you thought you had problems before, now nobody can live with you. You understand? Witchcraft is the power branch of the occult. Examples of witchcraft will include acupuncture, astral projection, mind control, Satanism, Reiki, and all that type of stuff. It's where we want to have something must be done to help me. I'm trying to manipulate my circumstances through XYZ that has supernatural undertones. That's witchcraft. Then we have divination. Somebody here asked just now, what is divination? How do we know that? Now, divination is the knowledge-based branch of the occult. That is where we are seeking knowledge that we can't get through carnal, natural means. Now we are seeking it through supernatural means. In its simplest form, we could just call it fortune telling. All right? Because when you go to a fortune teller, you are trying to find out what is in my future. I have a decision to make. Must I go this way? Must I go that way? But the source of what you are asking is satanic. Also, any false religions or revelations that come from a supernatural source is occultic. I know most of you won't know him, but there was a man in the 60s called Edgar Cayce. Anybody ever heard that name? Okay, a couple of you. Now, Edgar Cayce was basically a mediumist. He would allow a spirit to enter into him, and he would come up with massive, I will call them prophecies, because even satanic things can be prophetic. And he would come up with all these prophecies, and this thing, this entity would speak through him and give massive revelations, and sometimes even quote scripture in the midst of his revelations. The weirdest of all is Edgar Cayce only read the Bible. He never read any other book. And he would read the Bible up to 6-7 times a year throughout, which gave a lot of credibility to a lot of the revelations that he came up with. The only problem was he allowed a spirit to enter him and speak through him. And the Bible says that is occultic. It is spiritism, spiritualism, mediumism, which the Bible forbids. And so there's a lot of people that began to dictate their lives according to his prophetic words. And can I tell you something? Most of them, their lives probably fell apart because they put their faith in witchcraft. Examples of it would be astrology. Yes, astrology. Yes, looking at what does the stars have to say about you. What does the stars have to say about you? Nothing. When God created you, He did not have to wait for the planets to be in alignment and for the stars to radiate exactly the amount of light and what. God wasn't interested in the stars when He created you. He was interested in you. And the stars have no say in your life whatsoever. They have no bearing in your life. Yes, if you put faith in it, something will start working in your life. Not the power of the stars, the power of the fallen star, Lucifer. Bible says he's a fallen star. The great dragon took with his tail a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them down on the ground. That's how the Bible explains to us how Lucifer and a third of the angels fell from heaven. The angels are called stars. Right? Because they are creatures of light. The Bible says God is light and in Him there is no darkness. The Word of God is light that enters my soul. Wherever God is described, wherever God's kingdom is described, the word light is used. Right. That's the only stars you should be worried about. What we also should do is steer clear of any books that teach on these matters. A lot of people, in moments of sheer stupidity and weakness, will go by book upon book upon book on all these weird things. I want to know more about my star sign. I'm a Taurus. Am I compatible with a Leo? You know, like weird, stupid things. When I go and pray for people at their homes, one of the things we do is we walk through their house just to check what's happening there. You will not believe the rubbish that Christian believers have in their house. The power of positive thinking, the power of mind control. Control your destiny. No, my mate, you're not supposed to control your destiny. You put it in the hands of God and you trust Him for it. The more you try and take control, the more you practice in witchcraft. The more you will curse your life. God's Word is our only guide as to what is right, what is wrong, what is godly and what is ungodly. If you hear of any religious group that has goings on or things that are unbiblical, you steer clear of it. Finished in law. You have nothing to do with it. When Jesus appeared to Paul, first and foremost, he fell off his donkey. Secondly, the Lord Jesus spoke to him and he said, Paul, I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. And Paul he was at a loss of words. He said, who are you, Lord? And then Jesus said to him, listen, go to Straight Street. To a man named Simon. And he will pray for you. And the blindness, these scales that are on your eyes will fall off. And you will begin to see. Now, just think about Paul. Paul, or at that stage he was called Saul, was a Pharisee, which was a religious figure who definitely knew the Bible. Do you understand? Yet he spent his lifetime using the knowledge that he had to persecute Christ. Was that right or wrong? That was satanic. That was totally ungodly. And when Jesus appeared to him, instantly he was blinded. Why? That was Jesus' way of saying to him, you have been blind up until now. And then Jesus said to him, go to Straight Street. What is the significance of the straight? Your theology, my friend, is all cockeye. It's all crooked. If you go to that place and you put your faith in me, I will make what is bent straight. There's a lot of bent theology out there. There's a lot of crooked teaching out there. Anything that deviates, whether it be by 1 degree or 360 degrees from the Word of God, is wrong. And the most dangerous ones are the ones that only deviate by 1 degree. Because it's not always that easy to see. And that's why you need to know the Scriptures. That's why you need to know what God's Word teaches us. Sorcery. The last part of the occult. Sorcery is the part of witchcraft that makes use of physical things to change situations or circumstances. That's where I go and I get the powder and I put it everywhere because I want to change the circumstance. So I want to curse these people's marriage. So I put the stuff there by their gate. I bury Muti in their yard, etc. That's what sorcery is. Supernatural powers are assigned to objects which in turn then has to do something in your life. Often when people go to witch doctors, Sangomas, they are given amulets that they have to wear on their person every single day. Faith healers will often give people crystals. You have to wear this crystal. You have to wear it close to your heart. Your resonance is not in tune with the harmonics of the universe. Somebody farted in America and now you're going to have cancer. Wear this thing and it won't. Yeah, I'm only talking rubbish, I know. But it's true. That's how some people go through life. Now, the moment you make use of those things that have some divine, well, not really divine, some supernatural blessing put on it that's going to begin to change your life, that is sorcery. The Bible says, do not go down that path. An example of them would be amulets. You know, a lot of people wear amulets because they're going to give you favor or they're going to change your life in a good way. Talismans, lucky charms, the signs of the zodiac, crystals, Ouija boards, even drugs. People use drugs to alter their state. They don't like the way that their life is right now, so they control what they experience through drugs. Drugs is an occultic thing. And how do we know it's occultic? You listen to some of the things that happen to people when they have a bad trip. When you have a bad trip, demons come and communicate with you. They begin to freak out your mind. Because drugs can take you to the occult just as quickly as anything else. Because it takes you to that realm. It takes you to that state of consciousness where Satan can talk to you. Any object which an occultic practitioner has invoked supernatural powers on, whether they be bad or good, supposedly, you get rid of them. And all things that work through superstitions, get rid of your lucky horseshoe. It's not lucky. It's going to curse your life. That lucky rabbit's foot that you can't go to, you can't go and play tennis today because that rabbit's foot is not with you. Man, get rid of that rabbit's foot. That's why you've lost 3 times in a row. You're cursing your life because you put faith in that stuff. And the Bible says we must put our faith in God. We must put our trust in God. Ooh, there's a black cat that just walked across my path. I can't write that exam today. Mom, take me to the doctor. I need a sick note. Yes, those things begin to control people's lives. When something controls your life, it's satanic, it's demonic. You don't need it. Right. That brings us to the end of